Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our sermon this morning is the Old Testament lesson for this Sunday. We read in Ezekiel chapter 37, the first 14 verses. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, called to faith and made alive by the Holy Spirit. Underneath the football stadium at the University of Tennessee, there are boxes and boxes of dry bones. Some of those boxes contain complete skeletons. The rest of those boxes contain just various bones of the human body. But all of those bones are part of the forensic pathology department at the University of Tennessee. Here's the question. Can these dry bones live? Well, that's exactly the question that the Holy Spirit of the Lord asked the prophet Ezekiel in Israel while they were in captivity in Babylon. The Spirit in a vision showed the prophet a valley that was covered with dry bones in this desert. And he asked the prophet a question, can these bones come back to life? And then he told them, him, Ezekiel, how they might do that exactly. And that is through the word of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit commanded Ezekiel to preach the word of the Lord to Israel. What happened? What was the result? The Holy Spirit conscripts a vast army. Well, see, first of all, that he conscripted that vast army from spiritual corpses. And secondly, that he conscripted that army of spiritual corpses by means of the word of the Lord. Ezekiel's vision in chapter 37 is not a vision or a prophecy of the resurrection of the dead when Jesus returns. In Revelation, the Holy Spirit refers to that resurrection as the second resurrection. What Ezekiel is writing about and what he saw and was able to do through the word of the Lord was a spiritual resurrection. It was raising spiritual corpses, unbelievers, into believers by giving them new life. Looking again at the book of Revelation, there the Holy Spirit under inspiration calls our conversion, which is what Ezekiel is writing about, our first resurrection. Our first resurrection took place either at the baptismal font or when we heard the word of the Lord and, like on Pentecost, were brought to faith through that preaching of the wonders of God, particularly the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as our Savior. As we look back at this particular time, God's nation of Israel, the church, was virtually a spiritual corpse. And so, 6 centuries before Jesus' birth, the Holy Spirit came to the prophet Ezekiel and told him to proclaim the word of the Lord that would bring this corpse to life, that would renew the people, that would bring about a remnant of believers who would return one day to Israel and rebuild Jerusalem. And when Ezekiel obeyed the Holy Spirit and preached the word of God through which the Spirit gives life, the Holy Spirit conscripted a vast army from spiritual corpses. He brought them back to faith or strengthened their faith so that they once again trusted in the promises of God and looked forward to the day of their deliverance. The Holy Spirit continued that work 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, or 10 days after Jesus' ascension, on the Old Testament festival of Pentecost, when Jews from around the world came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Doing exactly what Ezekiel did, using the word of the Lord on spiritual corpses, the Holy Spirit called and gathered a vast army of believers, over 3,000 in that one single day. And later, the Holy Spirit would go about that work as Paul and the others would take that word of the Lord out into the Gentile nations. The Holy Spirit, Pentecost is the day of the Holy Spirit. Red is his color. The Holy Spirit on that day brought people to faith as Ezekiel did. And as you and I continue to do, as we go out seeking the spiritually dead, as someone sought us out when we were spiritually dead, and with the word of the Lord, either connected to water and baptism, or through the preaching of the word of Christ, raised us up from our spiritual graves, from our spiritual death, from our spiritual damnation, and gave us new life. And that new life is, of course, Christ's new life. The Apostle Paul writes about being baptized with Christ, into Christ, when he wrote to the Romans. And he says that just as we were baptized into his death, so we too are raised to new life. This is our first resurrection. our resurrection into faith, our resurrection into belief. When the Holy Spirit asked Ezekiel if these dry bones could live, and he said later, these dry bones are Israel. When the Spirit asked Ezekiel if these dry bones could live, Ezekiel gave exactly the right answer. He said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Only God knows, when we preach God's word, where and when it is going to bring people to faith. And that is something that we leave up to Him. But we know what we must use for the Spirit to work that new life. And that is the gospel in word and sacrament, the means of grace. That message of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became a human being and lived a perfect life and sacrificed that holiness on our behalf on the cross. And now God has declared the world not guilty. And then by the Spirit, God has called us, gathered us, enlightened us, sanctified us in the true faith. Just as He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies, as Luther says, the whole Christian church. The new life that fills the dead hearts of spiritual corpses is Christ. As a nation, Israel was dead. But now, as the Holy Spirit told Ezekiel to proclaim the word of the Lord and worked in that word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit gathered, conscripted a vast army of believers. And that vast army would return to the homeland and would rebuild the city and rebuild the temple and keep that promise of the Savior alive. The Spirit told Ezekiel of Israel, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Their graves here is their spiritual death, their unbelief, their having turned away from the Lord and having lost hope in Him. But once again, the Spirit restored that hope. Because of your sinful nature and because of my sinful nature, we too are lifeless and listless and hopeless in spiritual matters. We are by nature those dry bones littering the valley floor. We have no natural desire to live in Christ, and we have no natural ability to do so. But what has the Spirit done? He has seen to it that we have heard the word of the Lord, that word that gives us life. He has given us that good news of full forgiveness in Jesus, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Pentecost Sunday reminds us of how the Holy Spirit conscripted a vast army from Israel using the word of the Lord. How faithful Peter and the other apostles preaching the wonders of God continued to conscript that vast army. And Pentecost reminds us of our task and of our tool, the word of the Lord, to give spiritual life to those still spiritually dead in unbelief. You know, some Christian churches make quite a big deal about the speaking in tongues. And here they even really misunderstand what they were. They weren't some gibberish language that only some people could understand. Luke makes it very clear that when God poured out the Holy Spirit on the disciples, giving them courage and knowledge to move forward with the Word of God, that He gave them the ability to speak known foreign languages so that all the people who spoke different languages in Jerusalem, they would hear in their own, and they did. They heard in their own, as we heard in our first lesson, they heard in their own language the wonders of God. The Pentecost miracle is not so much the languages that the disciples could speak, as it's about the message of the languages that the disciples spoke. And that message was the wonders of God, particularly the life and death of Jesus Christ. And here, Peter particularly did not hold back the hammer of the law or the sweet balm of the gospel. Peter said to them, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." They had crucified Jesus, but so have we. Take Peter's words to those Jews to heart. It is my sin, it is my guilt that is responsible for Jesus' crucifixion. Cry out with Peter's hearers, cut to the heart by the law, "What shall we do?" And then listen, as Peter then applied that sweet and healing gospel that purifies us, as he says in Psalm 51, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." Peter invited them, and he invites you and me, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins." As I mentioned, the Holy Spirit conscripted a vast army, adding to the church over 300 believers that day. Pentecost is not really the birth of the church, of course. It's really the birth of the New Testament church. It's really the enrolling of thousands more believers into the church to give it strength, to give it more and more people to go out into the world in those different areas from where the people had come to share the gospel. It's quite possible, for example, that the church in Rome was established by Romans who first heard the gospel when they were in Jerusalem for Passover. But like Ezekiel before him, and like Peter, we have the same tool. Hear the word of the Lord, "I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life." And here, breath is the Holy Spirit. Through the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit enters into hearts, raises them from the death of unbelief, and gives them new life in Christ. That is why we are not spiritually dead, but now spiritually alive in Christ. This morning we tie Ascension and Pentecost together because they're both very important in connection with each other. In Ascension, Jesus went back into heaven as God and man to rule over all things. And then, after he left them, as he promised, he sent them the Holy Spirit that would now bolster the church and encourage the church, would take the same people who hid behind locked doors out of fear to go out into the world and even eventually offering up their own lives in martyrdom rather than denying Christ. Pentecost Sunday in the church today strengthens our resolve to not turn away from the Word of God, to use the Word of the Lord to bring people back to life as the Spirit works in that Word. The Spirit strengthens our faith for our spiritual battles in these days. You know, there really is no human word that could ever bring to life those boxes of skeletons and dry bones down there in Knoxville. Now, one day, of course, they will all come to life in the second resurrection, when Christ returns and with his voice will bring all living things back to life. Someday God will restore them at the resurrection of the dead. But in the meantime, God, the Holy Spirit, continues to carry out a greater resurrection and restoration. The first resurrection, by which the Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church. To those who are cut to the heart by our sins, God speaks that life-giving word of Christ, that promise of forgiveness and salvation. And as Peter said on that Pentecost so long ago, this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Amen.